Good morning, everyone. On behalf of our cathedral, cathedral parish, cathedral staff, for guests that are with us this morning, we're honored by your presence, and please join us as frequently as you can for Sunday Mass at the cathedral. I also want to acknowledge and greet those who would be joining us by live stream at home this morning. So God bless you, and thank you for joining us for Mass this morning. You may know this, but today's Holy Gospel is really a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. All of us on a pilgrimage of faith was not much different for him. We've been following him on this pilgrimage. If we have been paying attention or making notes, keeping a log, we've been following him all the way from the south, all the way from his own baptism, St. John the Baptist in the Jordan, all the way up through Samaria, through Galilee, and now he is at the top, the very top of Palestine. And he is there. It's a very interesting area, at least during his lifetime on earth. And he brings the apostles to a place that at that time would be noted as historically a place where devils are worshipped, or perhaps not quite as strong a language as that, but certainly there was a shrine. And placed in Palestine, a very popular shrine, to the Greek god Pan. The Greek god Pan was one of those tricky, sinister-like Greek gods that led people down the wrong path frequently. He was a real trickster. You see him depicted in ancient pictures. You see him depicted frequently playing a flute. He used to play his flute to kind of entice good people into doing the kind of things that you would not want your mother to know about. But he was very serious in many ways. In the ancient world, around the time of the life of Christ on earth, his influence had waned a bit at this time, but there were still four great caves there in which Pan was worshipped. Above them was this very large outcrop of rock that would shade the area where the people used to come and sing and dance and revel and all kinds of other things. But why do I mention all this? Because this is the place in Jesus's journey, his own pilgrimage, where he suddenly stops. And he says to his disciples, to the apostles, after they had traveled many, many miles with him, had been in many, many places, we've heard over the Sundays of the large crowds following him, but now they're all alone. And he takes the opportunity to turn to them and ask that question that we're all familiar with: who do people say that I am? And of course, those familiar lines as the apostles and the disciples respond. Some say that you're John the Baptist, St. John, who had already been beheaded by King Herod. Some say that he has risen from the dead and you are John the Baptist. Others say you're Jeremiah, some great prophet from the past. And then Jesus says to them, it's up close and personal, but who do you say that I am? And for the Holy Gospel this Sunday, that's the main point. We are all here gathered together, somewhat not unlike the apostles, the disciples on that day. We've stopped. We've stopped ordinary tasks, our own work, our own day-to-day life, and we have come here. So we are all asked the same question. Who do you say that I am? You. Not 2 centuries ago, and really doesn't matter today what Herod did or said to John the Baptist, who treated Jesus the way they treated him. Not 2 centuries ago, not even 100 years ago. Doesn't matter. Because the same question is asked of us. But who do you say that I am? And lo and behold, St. Peter, the one apostle who is more times than not, gets himself in trouble. The impetuous apostle who, if you remember on my very first Sunday with you, was saying to Jesus, "If it is you, Lord, let me come to you walking on the water." Because Jesus had appeared, if you remember, on the edge of the sea. Jesus said to him, "Come." So he begins to walk on the water. Then all of a sudden, his faith fell out of him, begins to sink, cries out, "Lord, save me." Jesus reaches out, holds him, lifts him up, brings this weak little man with a lot of bravado into the boat and into safety. This is the same St. Peter who now says, standing in the shadow of this whole pagan world, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Something's happened to him. Something's happened to them. And then Jesus, with great love, responds. He responds because he hears two things from St. Peter. First, he hears for the first time St. Peter speaking the truth. The second thing is he understands and hears that is spoken from a place of great love. "I believe in you because you are the Son of God." I suspect he's thinking, "You're going to do greater things for me than even saving me from sinking in the waters of the lake that day." And then Jesus responds, calls him by name, but a new name, Peter. And he explains the name Peter. It means rock. Before he was Simon, but the days of Simon are over. The days of Peter have begun. And Jesus says to him, "Flesh and blood has not opened your heart to understand this thing, but my Father in heaven has graced you with his knowledge and understanding. And I say to you, from now on, you will be known as Peter, the rock." Then Jesus gives a commission. "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you judge in this world is judged in heaven." It's important just to reflect and let that question and our response resonate with us this morning from that great place of love. Because if we stand up and say from our hearts when Jesus whispers to us, "And who do you say that I am?" we respond from that place of faith, freedom, trust, always leads to hope. "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." If we say that, not unlike St. Peter, the apostles, the disciples who were in that place with him quietly in Palestine, then we too commit ourselves being his disciples. This is what was established in Palestine that day, a community of men and women, very ordinary, sometimes like St. Peter, sometimes like me, full of weaknesses, very much a part of this life and open to all kinds of misfortunes and difficulties and mistakes and bad decisions and pains. But on that day, open to share with God his own life, to become a disciple of his Son, Jesus Christ. In that time, a new order was established and a new community. For in that moment, in that place, in the paganism of the past, far from the Jewish arguments, we've heard that about the Pharisees, the Sadducees, this and that, on and on, all kinds of arguments about theology, Jesus has established one thing. The world is now changed. The kingdom of God is at hand. And a new community. New community of faith, trust, that leads to hope. And he does it in the shadow of that pagan world to let not only the apostles but the disciples know that even in the midst of the wonders of the Jewish people have given so much to the belief they brought back with them down to our own day, all people, including them, including us, even stretches the boundary, including those who are members of that pagan world. You now belong to God. God wanted his world back. It is the same desire of God today. And what the world means in God's eyes is the only world worth living for and rejoicing in. So today, in a real sense, we hear in the Holy Gospel, it's a turning point. Turning point for Jesus first. Turning point for St. Peter, the apostles, disciples. Give me a turning point for us. Next few weeks, we'll continue to hear the story that's ever ancient and ever new. Jesus will not be walking up to heaven, but down into the dark valleys. He's willing to do that for us. He's going to go all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to accepting that his Father wants him to help out, help get his world back. So if you answered the question as did St. Peter, all of us are going to do that in just a few minutes with the profession of the Creed, then we too commit ourselves to being his disciples. Be people of faith, can't be shaken, people of trust. He's promised he will provide all that we need to do what he expects of us in this time and place. It's happened over and over again. So we leave today, hope, with a rekindled and a renewed sense of hope, because we're going to do our part. We're going to do our share. Just like St. Peter, the apostles, disciples, we're going to do our part to helping God get his world back.